Well, welcome to the final evening of punishment. I'm glad everybody has had the fortitude to stick with us this long. Those of you that are still here, I think we've thinned out just a little bit over the weeks. Tonight, what we're going to try to do in an hour or so that we have is cover nouns. And we're going to try to cover some very simple exegesis just to give you an idea how it works and some of the things that we deal with it. I took the liberty of bringing from my library at home some excess books that we have. And I have three of them up here. The first one is Basic Greek in 30 Minutes a Day. Okay. The second one is an older edition of Ray Summers' Elementary Grammar Essentials of New Testament Greek. It's not the most current, but an older one. And another one is called Learn New Testament Greek. These books have largely been unopened, which is why I'm bringing them here. If anybody is interested, they are free for the taking here afterwards, okay? So if somebody wants to come and grab one of these afterwards, feel free to come and do it. Otherwise, they'll go and they'll sit on the desk for another 5 years until we take them out and do this again. They may actually be collectible at some time, but I doubt it. So today we're going to get started right away with some noun vocabulary. We're going to work on this and we're going to move into some other stuff, okay? So some of these we may have already had. By now you should be familiar enough with the alphabet to be able to sound through these and figure out what these are. These are words you know. Some of them we may or may not have covered, but once we get through them, you'll say, yeah, I know this. So I'm going to go ahead up here. What have we got here, gang? The P, Ro, Pra, Prophetes, Prophetes. Anybody care to take a guess as to the English word that we get from that? Prophet. Prophet. These are all nouns. Okay? And this, the definite article that goes with this, if we remember this from last week, is the ha. Okay? Which is a little different. This is generally considered a masculine, and the A, the epsilon, the eta rather, sigma, kind of makes this more of a feminine. But this is one of the little ambiguities we're going to kind of get into a little later on as we cover this tonight. Okay? Next one after here. This is another one we know. Spell this out here. The accent is on the alpha. Anthropos. Anthropos. People, more specifically, that's a derivative. We're looking for the meaning of the word. Man, exactly. Definite article that goes with this. Again, it's the ha. Here we see those agreeing with the case at the end. And we'll get into this a little bit as we get on, okay? Remember what I said about Greek? Never say never. We're going to find exceptions. Okay, here we have another one. A P with alpha, rho, parabole. Parabole. Parable, exactly. This is when we have the eta. Hey, parabole. That's, again, the definite article. Okay? This one is derivatives of the same word. Okay, can you see this over here for this? Okay, sound that. This is a sigma. Okay, soma. Mm-hmm. Soma. And then we have somatos. Right. And the definite article, I'm going to just write it up here. Make sure I get this right. Yeah. To somatos. Okay? It means body. So have you ever heard of a psychosomatic illness? It's the somatic. The soma is where we get the body, the somatic from. Okay? This is another one you also know. I'm going to be seeing this gentleman in a couple of weeks. Ophthalmos.
Eye doctor.
Eye doctor, yeah. Ophthalmology, we get that from. Okay? And see what the... Let's get the... Oh, remember, this is the rough breathing mark. Anybody remember what the smooth breathing mark was? Just reverse. Okay? Rough kind of looks like the C, the smooth, like a backwards C. If you want to think of them as a parenthesis, however you care to try to remember it, whatever works for you. In the very bottom here, false, photos. Close. You're all on the right track. The article that goes with that is the to or ta. Phos, photos. Light. Light.
So when I said eye doctor, what does it actually mean again?
It just means eye. I'm sorry.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
And this means light?
Mm-hmm. This means light. Phos, photos. Okay, the beginning. What do we have here? Remember the name of this little trident-looking thing? Yeah, let's close it up. The psi. Upsilon. Suki. Suki. Soul. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's suke. It gets the article. Make sure I'm getting this right. Hey, suke. Okay. The soul. Or soul. So when we're not talking, you know, psychosomatic, it's the same thing. We get psychology, psychiatry, all the roots from these, okay? Soul, soul somatic, soul sickness, you can, you know, kind of combine and mix and match those, but that's, this is where we get that, okay? All, like I say, words you've known or have heard before. This is another one. Sound it out with me, gang. Dogma. Dogma. Or dogmatas. And it means a rule or ordinance. So we all know about dogma. That's rule or ordinance. Gets the same word here. Okay? This one's a little trickier. Sound it out with me. What we got here? Yeah. Kappa. Kephale. Kephale. Article is the he kephale. Means head. Head, as in. And the last one we should be able to get. Sound it out with me. Cardia. Cardia, the heart. Mm-hmm. Again, the definite article. Epsilon. Yeah. Cardiologist. Any question about these? These are all ones you've known, right? Most of us have heard these somewhere along the line. Maybe we didn't know that's what they were, but has everybody got these written down that wants them? I'm going to go through a few more. These are going to be a little newer. Not as many of them. Some of these you'll know or have a clue on, some of these you may not, okay? Okay, sound it out with me. Epithumia. Epithumia. Definitely, article would be, hey, epithumia. And what on earth is this? It means lust. So when we're talking about epithumia, something, something, sarke, we studied that word a couple of weeks ago. Be lust of the flesh. Okay? This one you should know. But maybe you don't know you know it. Koinonia. Fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, koinonia would be the fellowship. So if you see a church called Koinonia Bible Church or something like that, you wonder, you know, what does that mean? It's a Greek word for fellowship. Suedos, pseudos is how we would usually pronounce that. Pseudos. Mm-hmm. That is a lie. You'll also see it misforming a diphthong. Pseudos, pseudos. And the definite article is the he, Jesudos. The lie. So those who believe the lie of the Antichristos, who would that be? Antichrist. The lie of the Antichrist. This one's one you might not think means what it means. Okay? Scotia. Or hey, Scotia. Means darkness. We think of Nova Scotia, for example, you know, the Maritimes, a beautiful land, all the rest of that. And the name could trace its way back down and means new darkness. Gee, you know, probably not real flattering. That's why I always think of Scotia when I see that. And I never really associated that with darkness before. That's why I said you might be a little surprised with what it means. Scotia. Hey, Scotia would be the darkness. So you could say the present darkness, and you're going to find this combination in there somewhere. Okay? That might be. I kind of like that kind of moody weather. I don't know. It's just me. Might be just me.
I really
no,
like
it's not.
Sunshine.
I'll be telling you, I just get to be inside and be lazy and drink coffee and hot chocolate. And I'm good at that. Okay, got one more here. I just didn't have room on it before. A little sloppy, but you get the idea. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on a second. Yeah, I was looking at the wrong one. I'm sorry. I had it right. Aletheia. But thea. This forms, this usually pronounces a diphthong, so it's going to be thea. Aletheia. And usually we anglicize aletheia. You'll hear it said in aletheia. Okay? Hey, aletheia, which is truth. There's a Aletheia Bible Church in town, for example. And you'll see aletheia, other churches or whatever. This is truth. Okay? Greek for truth. Any questions so far? Okay. So much for the easy stuff today. This is where we get a little rougher. This, when I was when I took Greek, we did not spend as much time on nouns as we did with verbs, okay? I'm not quite sure why this is, and it seems on the front that the noun structure is much more complex than the verb structure, and it can be a little overwhelming. Then when you start studying it and get this kind of in a little bit, all of a sudden it seems to make sense, and it seems to make sense really fast, okay? So we're going to go through a few of the noun declensions, and we're going to go through some other things though, that we're going to have to kind of just work our way through. It's going to get a little ugly, okay? But if you make notes and look at this stuff, then when we get through with all this and you kind of review it a little bit, it'll kind of start to make some kind of sense. I hope it makes more sense than what I just said. Okay, there are three primary, what we call, declensions. They represent three basic patterns of inflection through which nouns are declined. That means taken through their various inflections with expressed sentence functions. In other words, what they're doing in the sentence for you. What kind of work they're doing for you, okay? What they mean, what position they occupy. The first declension is usually, but not always, but usually inflections dominated by alpha and eta. Okay? That's what we call the first declension.
Does that mean they end in that?
Generally, yes. Mm-hmm. Generally. And usually, but not always, when you have the definite article, it will match with the ending. But not always. Okay? Second declension, so they use really technical terms here, first, second, and anyone knows what the next one's going to be? Yeah. Yeah. Omicron and Omega. Those are primarily that. Third declension, anybody care to guess what that is? Everything else.
Everything else.
So it could be, for example, just the root form of the word and it's being used as a noun. Okay? For graph. If you were to find a sentence where that is being used as a noun, it doesn't end here, it doesn't end there, it falls into the third. It's just a bucket that everything else gets thrown into. Okay? But it can. That's how they've chosen to divide it. There are a few rules for determining third declension, but they're like 100 little rules for every given little situation, and nobody bothers to memorize them unless you're a doctoral level Greek student. And that eliminates, I'm afraid, don't take this personally, any present company, myself included. So we're not going to go through a lot of third declension, okay? Now, we're clear on the declensions? So far? First, second, third. That's the easy part of this. And before we learn all these patterns, we're going to go through what we call noun cases. This is where it gets a little more technical. We're trying to zoom through this so we don't get bogged down in it, gang, but... Okay, there are seven primary cases and an eighth that's a case but doesn't do a lot for you. And I'll explain this as we go, okay? First case is that we're going to look at is the nominative. Okay? They call this the nominative. We can also call it, and a term you may be more familiar with, subject. Okay? Or sometimes a complement. Not compliment that we're going to be paying our wives on Tuesday. Okay? Compliment as in, you know, something going along with, complimenting something, yada yada. Okay? Next one we're going to look at, let's see, I'm trying to keep this in kind of an order. call the genitive. And it generally denotes possession. Third one we call the ablative. And it denotes a separation. Collectively, these are sometimes also known as the genitive. Okay, these three. Don't ask me why, it's just what's down in the notes. And it's like a collective grouping. Okay, this is going to come together a little bit and make some more sense. Right now, it just seems like, why are we looking at this? Next little subgroup is also called the dative. Okay? There are two in this. First, we have the actual dative proper. Yeah. It's usually the indirect object. Then we have the locative. Anybody care to guess on this one? Well, what's the three secrets to the restaurant business?
Location.
Yeah. And it's usually location. Okay. Also used as a prepositional phrase. We won't get into that too much. In the next little subgroup, it's what we call the instrumental. That is the means, and in a case, a word used, I mean, a word by, for example. He did this by way of, or this is how he did it. So that's, we'll think of that. Next one is accusative. Usually used in conjunction with the direct object. Okay, those are the seven primary ones: nominative, genitive, ablative, dative, locative, instrumental, and accusative. Now remember I mentioned there was an eighth one that gets used from time to time. And they call that the vocative or vocative. And it doesn't carry a lot of weight for you. They're calling it non-grammatical, but it identifies to whom a sentence is addressed. For example, brothers, listen to me. All right. If I just said, listen to me, it would carry the same weight. Brothers just kind of narrows it down a little bit as to a specific audience. Okay, and they don't really give that a label as to doing anything for you. This is called the vocative. You'll see it from here to there. I think Paul, in one of his sermons, you know, brothers, listen to me. I know in Acts he's talking, for example. I don't know where in Acts. Didn't come prepared for that. So are we okay so far on declensions and the noun cases? Okay? We're okay with that so far? We're confused. Good. Okay. Okay, first declension nouns, let's go back to that a little bit. The ones dominated by alpha and eta, all right? Mostly feminine, but there's a few masculine nouns in the case. We saw that when we went through our vocabulary, okay? Now, there was a few that was ho prophetes. The ho is masculine, the prophetes is feminine. So prophets is feminine. But the ho is a masculine direct object that's attached to that. Why they do it that way, who knows? Just do not know. Okay, the first declension follows the alpha-eta pattern in the endings, okay? A lot of this I'm just trying to skim over a little bit. Now, this is where we're going to come through. And we're going to look through our endings, okay? We're going to go through our case functions. This is where it's going to start to look a little more familiar, trust me. We have the case up here. Singular. Plural. Remember when we did verbs? Okay, we went through the endings and the inflections. This is the same thing. If you think of case functions, the inflected articles, it's the same thing as if we did when we did verbs. Okay? Okay, the case. Remember that long list we just went through? Okay, here's where it gets a little easier. This is okay, these are inflected articles, they never change. They're usually going to lead. So for nominative, singular, plural.
And so they'll always end with the e sound in the singular.
Let me see here. This is the inflected articles. The articles generally, this is an easier way to remember it, okay? Because this is the articles that usually precede the verse or the word.
The word.
The word, yeah.
So these aren't
These are not endings.
These aren't endings.
These are not endings. This is more article stuff.
And so tell me again why the articles are, how are they tied into it?
Okay, well, let's go through this a minute.
Okay.
Let me write these down. This is kind of the quick and dirty way of doing it, okay? And it's really not fair to y'all, but I kind of give you something to maybe to work with. Okay, these are articles that will precede, they're called the inflected articles, okay? And they never change. I'm trying to word this so it's going to make some sense, okay?
making you nervous.
Okay.
If you're having this much trouble trying to make sense.
Okay. These are, think of these as prefixes, okay? And go over them with me. Nominative, he and I, okay, for singular and plural.
Hey.
Hey.
I.
Genitive or ablative, taste.
Tone.
Taste and tone. Dative, locative, instrumental, te. Taste. Accusative, tane. Toss. Tane toss. Okay. To remember these, they're saying do it like this. Hey, taste, te, ta, te, tane. Hey, taste, te, tane.
Hey,
taste, te, tane.
Hey, taste, te, tane.
I, ton, taste, toss. So you're taking the ITON taste test. Now you'll remember it, okay? These are similar to the definite article that goes in front of the lexical form of the word, all right? When used in a sentence, you will see this. For example, the one they give here is hey apangelia, which is going to mean the apangelia, the epangelia, I'm sorry. The Epangelia.
I don't know what you're
saying. Yeah, I'm trying to think of what it was. Angelos is that one. Epangelia. Anyway, the hey is going to be the nominative case, singular, so it's going to be the singular whatever this noun Epangelia is. Okay? And I may have it over there in one of the vocabulary words we didn't go through. All right? Obtain zoane. Now remember zoane. What was zoe?
Life.
Yeah. So tane, okay. So we see that here, it's going to be in the accusative singular, all right, of the verb life. So it's going to be the life, and the accusative is going to tell you where in the sentence this falls grammatically. All right. Does that make a little more sense? Maybe just a little.
So, instead of the noun carrying the ending to tell us if it's the accusative or the subject or whatever, it's the article that precedes it that tells us what it
has. It will tell you what function it has in the sentence.
So these really don't, they really aren't endings.
These are not endings, no.
I mean, are
there? The endings, okay. Let's go through the endings real quick for one of the cases.
A question, though. Is this all the beginnings?
Generally, yes. And these will generally not change. For example, the singular ending for the nominative. We're only going to cover the nominative, okay, which is the subject. Okay. And don't write this down, but this is why we're not doing it this way. There are actually five of these, but this is the alpha twice, depending on, I think, the groupings, okay? The plural. So a nominative singular version of a noun in the first declension can have any of these four endings. If it's singular, we'll have this one if it's plural. Okay? Most people don't go through and memorize that. What they do is the list we just had. The hey, taste, te, tane, I, ton, taste test. And they remember those, remember the articles that precede the noun, that way you can tell where it's going to fit grammatically in a sentence. Okay?
So knowing the front is more important than knowing.
Knowing the front will be a little more important than knowing the back. Because also, don't forget on the back, you're going to also cause all these, some of these, for example, end in verbs, in vowels rather, excuse me, and you're going to have little things like a floating new on the back of it that's going to throw you off. Or they'll combine and throw a diphthong or something in there. That's why These are listed, but the concentration is on the prefixes, on the definite articles. Okay? That's the first declension. The ones genuinely feminine. Sometimes there's some masculine thrown in there. Okay? Questions. I'm woken myself up. How many of us feel too confused to ask a question right now? You know, kind of okay? Daniel, too confused?
Too confused to ask a question.
Okay. Now we're going to look at the second.
I do have a question.
Yeah.
When you're mixing the feminine noun with the masculine or vice versa,
okay.
Couldn't that be the fact that the noun could be feminine?
It can be. Yep, it could be. But the definite article is, in the lexical form, is generally male. So, but yeah, it could be. But like Adelphoi, you know, brothers. It's, you know, contextually it means people. But it's always brothers. It's always, you know, it's not sisters. You're not addressing the sisters, you're addressing the brothers, generally. So it's one of those anachronisms from the language that, you know, in modern translations we try to make a footnote on it or explain it away or resort to a really cumbersome politically correct writing, whereas the Greeks didn't have that problem with it. Does that answer your question a little? Just a little? Yeah, the second...
It seems to me that this is unique to Greek.
Yeah.
There's so many different articles to go with.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
So it's confusing for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Some of these we've seen. We've already looked at them a little bit.
Is this second declension?
This is second declension. I'm the ones I have in the brackets, if you want to think of these as the secondary prefix, remember back when we did Greek, when we did verbs, we had the primary and secondary endings. So if you care to think of these as the secondary prefix, that might be a way to help remember it. Okay, these are always going to be the same, okay? So they're going to match with a case, gender, and number with the noun that they're attached to, okay? And we've looked at some of these already with the definite article in some of the words. All right, this is second declension. They're mostly masculine. There are several neuter nouns also in the second declension. Okay, usually they follow an omicron omega pattern in the endings, which will also agree with this with the definite articles. All right, usually. Okay, the to is the neuter, I'm finding out. Review is always nice. So let's look at the singular for the nominative. It's ho. Ho. Tu.
Tu.
This is pronounced toi.
Toi.
There's a circumflex and there's like a rough breathing mark underneath, and it's kind of toi. Ton. So it's ho to toi ton. Ho to toi ton. It's a tongue twister, but if you get it and you work down the list, you can get those memorized and they'll help you when you're trying to parse a little bit. The plural is hoi, ton, tois, tus. Ho ton tois tus. Ho ton tois tus. You'll buy that, okay? For example, they give an example down here of ton adelphoi ato, which ton is accusative singular, okay? So it's singular. Adelphoi is what? No, it doesn't mean what. What does it mean?
Brothers,
yeah. A ton, let me see. It's going to be this or these. So it's going to be the brother singular. So the little phrase, ton adelphi aton, is the brothers these. Okay, it's these, this particular group of brothers. If you were literally to read it, it would read the brothers these. But you know, okay, that the tone is singular, so it's brother, and you could say theirs because the these, it's a singular group of brothers. Okay? Make a little more, come together just a little bit more. Just a little, maybe. Okay? Questions about this? Hey. Declension, I'm just going to go through really, really quick. After a while, this is the kind of thing you learn to kind of see, so they say. Okay, they describe them here as a motley bunch. It's a catch-all for all nouns that don't fit either the alpha or the omega or omicron patterns of the first two classes. Third can contain feminine, masculine, and neuter. They're made from everything, all right? I mean, ain't would be in there if ain't was a noun, but it's not even a word, so... Their patterns are too far diverse and irregular to memorize as paradigms. The little, you know, memory trick we gave you, the others, you can use those and get by. Third declension ain't going to happen. There's no definite article to memorize with these, all right? No prefix. So all these are endings, okay? We'll list them real quick. Okay, the first two are really easy. Nominative and genitive and ablative singulars are both lexical forms. Right out of the dictionary. All right? The dative, locative, and instrumental is the iota. The accusative, alpha, nu, iota nu, and sigma. Could be any one of those four. Now you see why they call it a motley bunch. Plural, the nominative, epsilon sigma, for genitive and ablative, omega nu, for dative, locative, instrumental, sigma, iota, and accusative, alpha, alpha, sigma, epsilon, iota, sigma, and eta. So, as, a. These are all the plural. So, this is your singular and plural. Singular is real easy. You really only have two. Plural is a little more difficult, and these are all endings. But they have a few more to them, okay? And there's going to be others that probably are not even listed here. This is a start of confusion, but when we start to see this a little bit, and when you start to read and understand about nouns a little bit, it, like I said, you'll be so confused with it, and you'll be looking along this, and all of a sudden it's like, this is kind of making some sense. And you'll be able to translate the noun. Now, if you were like me in grammar school, in grade school, sentence diagramming was and still is a lost art, and it totally was a useless function. But this, if you can do that, this will teach you where to put those into a sentence, and you'll be able to translate accurately and parse this and get it down to where there's no question about what it means. So the vocabulary will help you with that. Learning the speech parts and learning the functions will help you even more. The vocabulary, like I say, will help you in your devotional reading. It'll help you in your, you know, study, something like this. But if you're studying, if you were, for example, on a translation committee or something, and you were translating or working on something like this, and you want to put it into a, you know, more modern vernacular, that's where they come in. That's where they use this all the time. And these are obviously people with a few more brain cells up here than what I have. Okay. Now, let's go back to a little bit of the fun stuff. Nobody's having fun?
We're not sure what we're having.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to go through a few pronouns real quick. There's 10 of them, all right? So this should go pretty quickly. And they're short words. Some of them, again, you know, but they're ones you're going to run across all the time in your Greek reading. I actually had in mind to do this earlier, and it got skipped. So repeat this one here. Ego.
Ego.
Anybody care to guess what that means? Anglicized a little bit.
Ego.
Yeah, it means I. Ego. I. Not the I, but this I. Yes. Sue. Sue. Repeat it. Sue. This means you. I, you. Autos. Autos, rather. Autos. It means he. He. Ate?
She.
The os, remember that general o, generally masculine? The a is she. Ato. No.
It.
Singular. It. He, she, it. And now remember we said the neuter ending on some of these? This would be a third declension noun, for this, at least for this form. We said the singular ending was to on some of these?
Yeah.
Well, that would be second question. But single ending, to, right? Why don't we have two T's there? Two.
It'd be redundant.
Yeah. So you drop one, just add the other. So that's considered a suffix. Hemis. Hemis. Rough breathing mark. Hemis. So we've done I, you, he, she, it. What would this one be now?
We.
We. Yeah. We're moving. If you notice the pattern, we moved, did all the singulars, now we're moving all the plurals. Okay? This is we. This one here, humis. Humis. Repeat this one, humis.
You plural.
You plural, exactly. Altoi. Altoi is they. So we have I, you, he, she, or it, we, you, plural, they. Okay, we're going to throw something at you.
Are we going to be a lemons yet?
Lemons? What would this be?
They feminine?
They feminine, absolutely. They masculine. Feminine. This board takes a little curve.
It's going to be muted?
Yeah. Alta. Since you have the so masculine, feminine, neuter. Neuter, they. They rocks.
Talking about a mixed group of people,
uh-huh.
And women.
Yeah.
Would you use the neuter, or do you use the masculine and just assume that people know
you're
talking about a mixed group of people?
You know, I can see where both of them would be used, but to be honest, I don't know the answer to your question. Probably masculine, based on patterns and the way it's been done, but I can see where they would use that, you know. In a lot of this, you're going to find, if you get into this, John might write it one way with the masculine, and Paul might write it another way. Or Paul might be quoting somebody who is using it in the plural they, neuter. Okay, those are the personal programs, yeah. I, you, he, she, it, we, you, and they. Demonstrative pronouns, there's four forms of these. A little more writing than just four words, I'm afraid. Hotos, hotos, hote. Anybody care to guess which one would be masculine and which would be feminine?
First
is masculine, general, yeah, Omicron. Second is feminine. And a tuto. Remember that Alpha Omega ending. Tuto. Okay? This is what it means.
The last one is neuter.
The last one is neuter.
Mm-hmm.
This microphone is neuter. This pastor is masculine. This wife is feminine.
We got that one right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because, like in Spanish, door is masculine.
Right. You'll find that in Greek. You'll find it very often with events in Greek. Parousia, for example, the appearance, the presence sometimes takes on a feminine. Let me change colors. I'm going to go with the color purple. Is that a movie name? This one's going to look very similar to what we just did, okay? Hotoi, hotai, tauta. Okay? If the one we just did was this, masculine, feminine, neuter, that was singular, keeping our pattern, this is plural. If you notice, the spelling is very similar to what we just looked at. So that is these, masculine, these, feminine, these, neuter. That should be an alpha here. And it's these. Hotoi, hotai, tauta. So, lithos tauta would be these stones, for example. These being, you know, stones being neuter. Okay? Say this one after me. Ekenos. Ekenos. Okay? So this is that. Talk about this and that. Okay, this is generally used as a more of a distance or removed that. Okay? This is a little more closer. That is a little further away when you're reading it and the usage of it. So ekenos. Ekene, ekena. So again, masculine, feminine, neuter. So that restroom sign, for example, would be neuter. This is that. Oh, this is going to be easy. That is singular. What's the plural of that? Yeah. Okay. Ekenoi, ekene, ekena. That's those. Again, masculine, feminine, neuter. So those rocks out front, those ladies in the pew, those men watching the football game. Okay, any questions about this? These are fairly commonly used. You'll see them quite often when you're reading through. And you know, it's kind of funny, gang. Once it's, you know, when we learn verbs, you feel, wow, I got verbs down. Then you move on to nouns, and you just feel like everything I've learned has just been totally wasted, to be really honest with you. That's how I felt the first time. To be a little more honest, we really needed a couple of weeks to do this just to kind of give it the just, you know, give it its just due. But we just don't have that time to do it. But what we're going to look into real quick now during our last few remaining minutes, we're going to do some very simple exegesis, okay? And we're going to show you how just this kind of works and then show you some of the difficulties that you run into with it, okay? This is all going to, I'm writing this big just so we can see it for now, okay? This is a sentence. It's a very short sentence.
What verse
is it? I'm not telling you yet. All right. Go from the known to the unknown. What do you see here that maybe you recognize? Well, we should recognize this. What is it? Oh, and what is it? Okay, but nominative what? Okay, which tells you that it's going to be primarily masculine or feminine? Okay. But what is the, if you had to translate this word, what would you translate it at? The.
Oh, yeah.
The.
She was right.
The. I didn't. I heard a the, but. Red. Okay, the. This is exactly the way it is in the Greek New Testament, by the way. And what we have here, this is a capital iota. We didn't go through capital letters for time, but it looks just like an I in English. So let's sound this out. Okay, this is a smooth or rough breathing mark? Smooth, so it's not sound out. It's just kind of a placeholder. So, ye. What do we have here? Jesus. Jesus, yeah. Okay, now, so we have, what we have here, we have a noun, the article. What does it leave us with? We need a verb. That would be this word right up here. So, this is not a word we've had in our vocabulary. Okay? Let's go from, what have we had in our vocabulary that we can apply to this word? Well, the alphabet, sure. So, let's do that. Rough or smooth? Okay, so everybody agreed here? What we got here? De. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Out of the crucin. Well, that helped us a lot. What else have we had on verbs?
Crucified?
No. No, this is a verse. This is a whole verse.
It's a singular secondary active verb.
Okay. How do you know?
It's ending in the do.
Okay. Look back at our verb cheat sheet. Be singular because we have the Jesus, right? So we know that much, correct? I'm trying to find a good word, a good one that ends with that. Secondary active, okay, yeah. So it could be just the new. That's what you're getting at, right? Just because it's the new? Yeah, yeah. So the lexical form is going to be eda cruce, or eda cruz. I might just put the E in here, okay? Now, here's where I'm going to give you all a little hint. What's the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept, right. So this is going to be wept, all right? And how would we parse that? What would be tense, voice, mood, person, number? Tense is... Okay, let's look at this up. Okay, tense. Yeah, this isn't working out the way it's supposed to be. So, okay, this just finishes up real quick. So it's gonna be a present tense, is it?
Past tense.
I'm sorry, because he did wept. Yeah, he wept. So it's going to be, tense is going to be past. Which past? Aorist? Imperfect?
It's the aorist.
Yeah, I think it's going to have to be aorist. We're using the secondary endings. Yeah, so it's going to be the end. It's not a continuing. So it's a weeping at a specific point in time. Okay? Not necessarily. Does it mean he never wept before or after that?
No,
not necessarily. Yeah, because it just this event. So he wept. So this is going to be it's going to be aorist, voice, active, passive, or middle.
We have secondary active.
Okay. I'm thinking it might be more middle because he's weeping. He's also the recipient of it. Tense voice, mood. It's going to be indicative. He just did it. Person.
It could be middle passive. Is that what you're saying? Or secondary middle
passive?
What do you think?
Okay, I'm saying... Okay, middle voice is going to use the secondary ending. Okay, the secondary ending is the new. Okay? The active, all right, is going to use the primary. I'll use the secondary ending also. I'm sorry.
Secondary
ending in the aorist is always going to be the new.
Right, so that's not the middle, though. It's not in my notes.
Yeah.
I may have taken notes wrong, but.
Okay. Let's skip that because we're not going to agree on it right now. So it's going to be, I'm saying I can't figure it out right now. So, okay, it's going to be aorist. Okay, it's going to be first person, or singular. Correct. Tense voice, mood, person, singular, number, first. Yep. No. Okay, I'm confused. It's going to be Jesus wept. All right. So.
Well, you know what it was
supposed to be. Huh? Yeah. Okay. You got me going, so let me back up a minute. Okay, so aorist tense, he wept at a time and a space, past tense in the past. It's not a present, it's not a perfect, it doesn't have a continuing action. Okay? Voice is it wasn't the recipient of the weeping. So it can't be.
It's not a direct object.
Yeah.
He's receiving the
weeping. Right.
He's doing the weeping.
He's doing the weeping. So he's going to be, okay, so it could be active or middle, because he's also he's doing and receiving the same thing, as in hitting my head, remember? But, okay, voice, indicative, because it's just indicating an action. Person, first person, singular. That Jesus was doing. So, but if you were just to read this, okay, it would read what? Wept the Jesus. Now, how many of your Bibles say wept the Jesus? Last I checked, mine doesn't say it either. Because we assume Jesus is the Christ, the Jesus that's being talked about here, and the translators dropped the direct object. They could have written it grammatically and made as much sense, the Jesus wept. But it just kind of, it's redundant. You're saying the Jesus wept, it's redundant in English, so we drop the direct article. Thank you. Are we confused about that? That was a simple one.
Absolutely.
Huh? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's go through one more.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'd be honest, I didn't do enough homework to parse this before I came in, which I should have done.
I think what you're trying to say is that the noun and the verb are agreeing with each other in number.
Right, okay.
I think that's what you're trying to say.
That helps what I'm trying to say. Be honest, it's the furthest thing from my mind, but it probably helps.
are you saying that word order doesn't matter? Word
order doesn't matter. Unless it does. Yeah, no, let me explain real quick.
Yeah, we're waiting.
Generally speaking, in the Greek, the word order does not matter. It doesn't do anything for you. What matters is how the verb is constructed and then the noun that is agreeing, okay, in number and in tense with the verb. All right? That is what matters. The rest of it is quite inconsequential. So that is why, literally, if you look it up in the Greek New Testament, that verse we just looked at was wept the Jesus. And yes, sir?
You know, in the Greek part in here, between the wept, this one it shows, it says shed tears, and it's spelled out a lot different than the wept and the weeping earlier on in the verse. Is there a reason for that?
That I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to look to see how they were constructed, and see if one was a form of another or anything like that.
The weep and the weeping and all that stuff, those all seem to be spelled very similar, but this one is totally different.
Totally different. What were they? Read the one real quick where they were weeping. Just in English.
Basically, Jesus, therefore, when he saw her weeping, that version of weeping, that's in 33, and the coming with her Jews weeping, that's also in 33, those are spelled the same.
Mm-hmm.
But this one in 35, the weeping is kappa, lambda, alpha, iota, omicron, mu, tau, alpha, sigma. I mean, it's just totally different spelling. And this one, 35.
Yeah.
35, they translated shed tears.
Shed tears. Yeah, and I don't know why the translator chose to do that.
Huh.
Yeah, which is another.
Maybe it's because it's a totally different spelling. It's hard to put weeping in there.
Yeah. Or it doesn't carry the same emphasis. All the Jews and the ladies were weeping, and Jesus shed tears. I don't know, maybe it just doesn't carry, you know, what they thought the original intent was.
Perhaps the weeping that the ladies were doing had more to do with that sort of mourning that... Yeah.
That might be more of it. It's a different type of weeping. Yeah.
When translating from Greek into like things like Latin, French, Spanish, is it easier to translate into French and Spanish because of the sentence structure? Are different than other languages?
Probably not. I'm going to take a guess and say they each carry with them their own complications. Yeah. Okay, let's go from the known to the unknown here, all right? Automatically, we have a couple of words that maybe we know. We know we have what we have here, right? This definite article, aha, and we have a word with this, which is logos, halagos, okay? Agreeing in person, in tense rather, masculine. So this is what? The? Yeah. We have arche. What is that one? Beginning, yeah. In the beginning. Yeah, one of those has to be in. And just to make it easy, it is the in. It's in beginning was. Mm-hmm. And I've got a listing here that we did not go over of the verb to be, the being verb. So in beginning was the word. What are we missing? What are we missing? Yeah, we're missing from the beginning. So where do we get that? Because it makes more sense. And it may be just understood of this, that this beginning here, okay, is the only one. So they to avoid redundancy, they don't put ein a arche ein hologos. Okay?
Is this beginning different from using beginning? Like this is used more like a noun.
Mm-hmm.
It's the beginning.
Yeah, the beginning.
Beginning with such and such tomorrow, I'm going to do blah, 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 blah.
Right.
It's a
totally different usage.
Word.
Uh-huh.
So is that?
Probably. Yeah, but I don't have the direct, definitive answer, but probably.
No, logos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure. And what's the accusative function correspond to?
I have no idea.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And we'll go through a couple of others real quick. Did we go over Chi? I think we did a couple of weeks ago. All right. Yeah.
Is that a convention?
Yeah, it is actually. But when we know, and is the word and. Ha, logos, okay, and the word. Here's where we can double check ourselves. Remember this word here?
What?
Up there. Mm-hmm. So the word was Tone, are we on a roll now? The word was?
Just
tone is C.
Is another article?
No, it's B.
It's with. Okay, let's go through this. In RK, in ho logos, kai ho logos, in ton theo. So, in beginning was the Word, and the Word was the God.
So the
is that what we're saying is?
The God.
I think the tone in this case. Well, yeah, in the beginning was the Word. Yeah.
And so, God.
Yeah.
With God and with God.
Let's see if we have a listing here that helps us out of this little jam.
Because when you gave us the articles for the noun,
okay. So, accusative, and what's the function with the accusative? Yeah, the direct object and the accusative. So we would say, how would we translate that? The Word was the God.
The God.
And the Word was God. Okay. And God, and the next one. Let's see. That's Kai again. Kai Theos and God. Hein Ho Logos. And God was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was the God, and God was the Word. Is the literal. I'm sorry?
On that, yeah. Where it says with, that word with.
Where are we at? In the beginning, and?
And the Word was with God.
Oh, man, I left it out. I didn't see it. I'm sorry, gang. Yeah, because you got your interlinear there, right?
Yeah.
And, excuse me, my mistake. That's why it wasn't making sense. I was thinking, we have pros, okay? It's a P, rho, omicron, sigma. And the Word was with the God. Does it make a little more sense now?
Yeah.
Now we're not so confused. I'm so sorry. I was reading this and I just skipped right over it.
I thought you were going to overturn 500 years of translation.
No, I'm going to this is actually the New World Translation. No, just kidding. Just kidding. No, I apologize, gang. I just got in a rush and left out a word there that kind of made all the difference in the world. Which gets us to our next point.
Don't deal with
me when I'm tired. No. In Greek exegesis, though, leaving out a word can change the whole meaning of what you're doing. Okay? And not knowing some of the simple rules of how the language goes together, and some things to disregard. For example, word order. You know, we don't put the emphasis in word order in the Greek that we do in the Hebrew. We put it more on the way the verbs are put together and the way the nouns are put together and declined. And that tells you the sentence function and where they fit in and how they're to be translated. Okay? We've seen through a couple of ones here, some very, very simple ones. The shortest verse in the Bible that I should have done a little more homework on and you all can hit me when we're done here, but we can see how in order to get that translated correctly, you need to know a basic sentence structure, a basic word, you know, a verb pattern, how they go together. Also here, in this particular case, this is one where, for all practical purposes, the word order in the Greek is the same as it is in the English. But we see if we leave a word out, that it changes the whole meaning and really, you know, gets rid of a few things that we really need for it to say, and that all the texts agree, okay, that it needs to be said, you know, that it needs to be that it is that way. So I was going to go through another one, but we're kind of a little crunch for time here, and I think we've kind of gotten through enough to see, you know, to maybe appreciate some of the difficulties that are in this. But what I've tried to do the last few weeks is to give us a very broad overview of the language. Some of what we've gone through, you know, and what you can take home with you now is you know the alphabet. You know the Greek alphabet. You can sit down with a Greek New Testament and struggle through it and get a word and know how it's to be pronounced in the Greek, know how to transliterate it into the English, and if you're lucky, be able to, and skillful enough, really, be able to figure out a translation for the word. You know where the definite articles are and have a beginning of how to take the definite articles and how to break down a noun into its different cases and how they go together and what they mean in a sentence. You know the same thing with verbs. You know how to take a verb and take the endings, take the root, find out, you know, a difference between a perfect tense, a future tense, present tense, things like this, based on the way the word is constructed. You have enough now with you to get you through what we called at the very beginning a devotional level Greek, to where you're able to take a word in the Greek and you're reading a commentary or daily bread or table talk or what have you, and you go through and it says, the Greek says so and so. You'll know, one, what they're talking about, but two, you'll also know to, you know, I hate to use the word check up on, but these are the times we live in where there's so much false doctrine out there. And it really gives you, I think, some tools to kind of understand where the truth is and how to dig out the truth and get to it. Gang, I apologize for now for some of the obvious errors in my humanity that have crept up here, for some of the omissions that we've had and all the rest of that. I've appreciated the dialogue that we've had over the last 5 weeks. I wish we could do it another couple of 3 weeks. Maybe we will someday, 5 years in the future, and we spend 3 weeks on review and 2 weeks trying to do something new and blow it at the end. But, you know, just pray that you'll be able to take this home and use the knowledge that you've gained from doing this to kind of further your own Bible study, maybe bring a new appreciation to the Word and to the riches of it. Because we have a rich Word. And we have a rich Christian heritage. And I personally believe that when Christ came in the fullness of time, part of that fullness of time was a cultural, historical setting. Part of that was Hellenization, which for better or worse had a lingua franca of the day and was able to spread the word in a common language to be used from, you know, all the civilized world at that time, but also a very expressive language where we've seen that the omission of a word or a letter in a word can have, you know, consequences that change the meaning of it. And if you don't get it right, it's really some serious consequences to face with that. So I'm glad y'all came. I'm glad you stuck with it. And we'll see you back doing this again someday. And there's plenty of other Greek people teachers around that know a lot more about it than I do. And if at all we've whet your appetite a little bit or piqued your curiosity, I would hardly recommend that you talk with Dr. Collins or somebody like that that has done more in working in the language than I have. UNM, Albuquerque Bible College, and Trinity all have excellent Greek classes in New Testament, Koine Greek, the same stuff we introduced you to here.